Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Welcome, everybody. I'm super excited for another episode of the show about science. This is the first part of a two-part episode that was recorded at an event called Coal and Ice in San Francisco. Come on, everybody. The show's about to get started. So let's join the audience and meet our first guest, Captain Don Walsh.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's live episode of the show about science. This is your host, Nate. I'm so happy to be here at Coal and Ice. I've been here in San Francisco all week, and it's been amazing. On Tuesday, I got to see Al Gore talk about climate change on this very stage. Now that's one tough act to follow. And on Monday, I got to interview David Brashears. He took these amazing photos of Mount Everest at the very highest point in the world. So to keep it interesting, I thought today I would talk to someone who's been to the lowest point in the world. Please welcome Captain Don Walsh.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Fine. Thank you. What are we going to talk about?
So first, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
I was born in Berkeley, across the bay. I grew up in the Bay Area. And then I joined the Navy in 1948. And I was in the Navy for 25 years. I was in submarines. After the Navy, I was on faculty, University of Southern California, where I was Dean of Marine Programs. And then after that, I became a consultant. Do you know the definition of a consultant?
No. What is the definition of consultant?
When you ask a consultant what time it is, he tells you how to make a watch. Because we get paid by the hour.
Okay, so can you just tell me...
They don't laugh at my jokes all the time. My wife's the same way.
So can you just tell me what it was like going to the bottom of the world, mm-hmm. the Mariana Trench?
Well, during my time in the Navy, I had the opportunity to be selected to be the first captain, if you will, of the Bathyscaphe Trieste. That's a big word. It just comes from two Greek words, bathy, deep, scaphos, boat. And it's nothing more than an underwater balloon. So in 1960, we took it to the island of Guam, in the Western Pacific, because Guam is only 200 miles from the deepest place in the ocean. And we, in January 1960, took the Bathyscaphe. Jacques Picard, myself, dove to the sea floor there at depth of about 7 miles. And that's the deepest place in the world ocean. And then 52 years later, James Cameron, you know who he is, the movie producer, he made a dive in a submersible he designed just by one person. And I was on that expedition too, so I actually been out there twice when people have gone. Only three people in the world have ever gone to the deepest place
in
the ocean.
You were one of them.
I was one of the three. And then my colleague, Jacques Picard, passed on in November 2009. So just two of us alive.
So how did you feel when the ship just touched the ground?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we were very grateful that we had taken this device, engineered it, modified it, operated it, and we told everybody that's what we were going to do, and we did it. We did it on time and on budget. So we're pretty proud of our team for making this exploration.
So, did you find any life there? I mean...
Yes, actually, just before we landed, we saw fish. And it looked like a flatfish would be like a flounder, you know, the bottom-dwelling fish. And that told us three things. One, there's life in the greatest depth of the ocean. And two, because that kind of fish lives on the seafloor, that it was a resident. So that's where its home was. And third, that means that there's more than one. Because, of course, you have to have a population. And there's food and oxygen for them. Now, after that dive, all the ichthyologists, the fancy word for fish scientists, biologists, said that was impossible. We didn't see a fish. Well, that's too bad because I didn't see them inside with me, just the two of us looking out the window. And so over the years, the sightings of fish in the ocean have increased in depth. And just this past year, they found one down a depth of about 28,000 feet. So maybe someday they'll actually find one 36,000 feet where we were.
So how did you feel when you saw the life at the bottom of the Mariana Trench?
Well, no one expected that. And so it was an original discovery. That told us that nowhere you can go on our planet, you're not going to have some form of life. Maybe it's just microbes, and maybe it's large animals, but life is all around us, everywhere.
So what is the chance that there was a new species down there? Like, how positive are you that you saw it?
Well, I've eaten a lot of sole, you know, in the restaurant. And so I kind of have an eye. It wasn't very big. It was about this big. But, a fish is, even a person who's not a biologist, I kind of know what a fish looks like.
Okay.
No, you could too. And so it was unexpected to find it there. But the shape and form of it was quite what we're used to, seeing before.
Can you describe it for us? Can you describe what the fish looks like?
What that fish looked like?
Looked like, yes.
It was about a foot long. It was kind of white or silvery color. But once we landed, we couldn't see anymore because we stirred up the bottom sediment when we landed on the seafloor. So this is just as we approached the seafloor, we could see this thing. And then after we landed on the seafloor, we were kind of blind because of the sediment we stir. It was like looking into a bowl of milk.
So you set a record for first person to ever go, well, you and Jack Bacard set a record for first people to ever go to the bottom of the Mariana Trench. It's kind of funny because earlier this week, I got to interview David Brashears, who actually went to the highest point in the world. But if you turn Mount Everest upside down and just dumped it in the Mariana Trench, it wouldn't even touch the surface.
You'd have 1 mile of water from the top of Mount Everest to the surface of the ocean. So that's pretty deep.
So how did you build the machinery to withstand all of that pressure? I mean, how?
Well, the total pressure on our cabin, which was a steel ball about 7 inches thick and with a viewing port, a window we could look out, the total pressure on that cabin, this ball, on the seafloor, the Challenger Deep, Mariana Trench, was 200,000 tons. So that's a lot of pressure, or 8 tons per square inch. So that's a lot. You know, we even had a watch on the outside, like this type of watch, and it was
Rolex?
Yes. Message from the sponsor. No, but they engineered a very special watch, and it rode on the outside of the bathyscaphe and went all the way to the seafloor, 8 tons per square inch, and came back up and still working.
So, like, you're into the ocean. Like, how have you seen the ocean change? And how should future generations expect to see it change?
Well, first of all, you don't exactly see the oceans changing as something like a television or movie. You just observe certain trends. For example, with the oceans warming up, the oceans are getting more acidic, more acid. And when that happens, the shellfish, they build their shells from calcium they extract from seawater. And with a more acidic ocean, that slows down. So that harms the coral reefs. It harms the mussels, the shellfish, oysters, and clams, and things of this sort. And so that is damaging marine life in the sea with a warming seawater. And also, water expands when it's warm, so you get sea level rise. Then you also get sea level rise because of the melting of the ice caps in Greenland and the Antarctic.
So you said that you went to the Antarctic.
Yeah.
And Antarctic or Arctic?
I have done 40 expeditions in the Arctic and 40 in the Antarctic.
Okay.
And then I have.
Did you see any like meteorites? Way off topic, but.
I know how they find them in the Antarctic because the meteorites are very dark, and being black colored, they absorb solar energy, warmth, and so they tend to melt a sort of a flat dish in the snowpack, and so you can really see these, and that's a place where the people that study meteorites go down there to make these collections because there's so many that can be collected in the Antarctic because you can see them.
I'm going.
There you go. But, you've probably seen the numbers of how many tons of space dust fall on our planet every day, but we just can't see it very well.
I'd like to thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
There you have it, folks.
Thanks a lot.
There you have it, folks. The show about science is complete. When we come back, we'll be here with Sylvia Earle.
That's right. On part two of this episode of the show about science, we'll meet oceanographer Dr. Sylvia Earle. You definitely won't want to miss that interview. A very special thank you to Captain Don Walsh, Tom Corwin, Marlene Saritsky, and everyone else at Coal and Ice. You were all incredible. And thanks to everyone who came out to see the show. Our theme music was composed by Dan, Jeff, and Teresa Brooks. Okay, Dad, you can shut the recording off. For the newest episodes of the show about science, download the PIN app or go to pina.fm/promo.
Start clean with Clorox because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support, anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.